I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, a little earth, wind, and fire, always good for your soul. Lord knows we can use some soul food from time to time. It's the Paul's Way Show, brought to you Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, official chicken wing of the fan. Archie's, home of 80 Cent Wings, Monday through Thursday. Home of the Paul's Ice Grilled Cheese Sandwich. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. And also, Edgar Snyder. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. The UCL surgery, is that the also, or if obviously he's going to get a second opinion, but is that what would be Tommy John surgery?
That would be it.
Okay, so that's what I thought when I heard it when I was driving in. I was like, Tommy John surgery, and that usually, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, but that usually is more than a year from when you have the surgery to when you can come back, correct? I mean, most guys that have Tommy John surgery miss about 18 months, right?
Yeah, baseball, it's probably much different, just like with pitchers and stuff. They think it could be 6 months or so on Brock Purdy.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. I mean, that would get him back playing. I'm assuming that's 6 months. It all comes down to what he does surgery-wise. But, boy, I feel bad for Brock Purdy. Feel bad for Josh Johnson. So let me get that out of the way, because, of course, you have to specify that nowadays, because people are always looking to be outraged by something when I say this. I was really upset for all of us because it meant we got to watch a really horrible football game. I mean, once it became clear that Purdy couldn't throw and Josh Johnson was in, it was pretty much over. It was kind of like with Josh Johnson, they're not going to be able to play this game, but at least they have a quarterback that might be able to throw the ball. Maybe he gets a couple of big plays and they keep themselves in it. When they had to go back to Purdy and he came in and everybody on the planet knew he couldn't throw, that's pretty much the end. It was a wrap. It really is. And that's what I would tell you it comes down to. Like, it was a really bad, bad game. And it's a shame, because we sit around all year. We wait for all year for the, at least I do, AFC and NFC championship games. And I think that's what the thing about it is, when you get one of the games is terrible. And the second game, people are talking a lot more about refereeing than anything else. That's probably not a good day for the NFL. And again, you can argue and fight about whether you think the refs were right or fair or this or that and the other thing. I can tell you, as somebody whose bets in that game hit safely, so I have no dog in the fight, I believe that Cincinnati got screwed in that game. And I'm a big Mahomes fan. You know, I like all the best quarterbacks. You tell me there's a great quarterback that's going to be playing, I'm tuning in. I am. I was saying some of these things last night on social media. I had people saying, you're a Burrow guy. No, I'm not a Burrow guy. I'm just not such a Steelers fanboy that I can't see the forest through the trees. I mean, the takes on the Bengals last night, I could tell immediately who were Steeler fans and who were not, because they had like this ridiculous, as if somehow the Bengals losing changes the fact that the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in 6 years. I mean, really, at the end of the day, the Bengals have won, what, 6 playoff games over the last 2 years, right? Or what'd they win last? 3 last year? Well, they were 3-1 last year and 2-1 this year, I think, right? So 5. They've won 5 playoff games the last 2 years. You got to go back to the year that the Steelers lost to Aaron Rodgers to come up with 5 playoff wins. And I only say that because what I mean is, I don't really care who won and lost the game. I was happy, to be honest, that Patrick Mahomes was going to be playing either Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, because to me that meant we were going to get a great quarterback in the Super Bowl, regardless of which one of those three it was. And I was really happy that the Eagles won, because I think Jalen Hurts is probably the best of the quarterbacks. So it has nothing to do with how I feel about the Bengals, the Chiefs, Joe Burrow, whatever. But the intentional grounding, I've seen all kinds of people trying to explain why the ball literally bounced past Perrine's foot, right past his feet. So the idea that there weren't a receiver in the area is silly, okay? That's a terrible call. It was a really big call. The punt return. There are two very easy block in the backs that you can see very easily. I saw them in real time, and I've seen them in every single angle that people keep trying to sell me. Well, maybe he wasn't. Maybe that was a flop. Maybe this is that. No, no, it was a block in the back. That's a huge play. If you start that drive at the 20 instead of the 50 or wherever it started, that's a huge difference. And then the run, you know, the Patrick Mahomes run. There were two holds right in front of the ref that allowed Patrick Mahomes to spring free. I'm just saying, those are three calls you cannot miss. Well, you can call holding on every play. You can, but there are plays when holding is so egregious, you can't not call it. Both of those holds, one guy tackled the dude in the backfield. So I kind of feel like Cincinnati got screwed, but by the same token, you know what? I always say it, you got to make plays to win. And they had opportunities to win, but again, now we are into Kansas City versus the Eagles. Should be a great game. Hopefully Patrick Mahomes is a little bit healed, even a little bit more, you know, so that he can be at full strength and we can really see both teams go at it. That's really what I'm rooting for. The one thing I find hilarious to me, though, the mayor of Pittsburgh, Mayor Ganey, does he want to run for higher office? Is that what this is about? Or I mean, does he want to, like, run for a statewide office someday? Because he said, oh, well, we're happy for Philadelphia because, you know, at least it's still Pennsylvania. No, Mayor. If you grew up here and you're from here and you were born and raised here, you're not happy for Philadelphia. Just because we share the same state. You know, Fetterman was on there saying the same thing. Okay, at least Fetterman is a statewide rep. You want to tell me? Still, don't preface it by saying, I'm a big Steeler fan, but I'm happy for Philadelphia. You're happy for Philadelphia because they vote for you there. I mean, let's face it. You're not happy. If you're a Steeler fan, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're not happy for the city of Philadelphia. And if it was the Flyers, Joel, could you imagine if it was the Flyers that won and the mayor of Pittsburgh was saying, let's all get on board. Huh?
I don't think that would happen, but just that would be really crazy if it was the Flyers.
If it was the Flyers?
The biggest Pittsburgh-Philadelphia sports rivalry.
I mean, yeah. If it's the Sixers, it's one thing. We don't have a team.
Sure.
Right?
And the Steelers and Eagles are in different conferences.
They are, but we hate them, don't we? I think I got jaded. I had to live in Philadelphia for like 3 or 4 years. And Philadelphia fans just really rubbed me the wrong way. By the time I was gone, I'm telling you, one of my most memorable times, Joel, the Flyers against the Red Wings for like the, it was about 95, 96 for the Stanley Cup final. I lived out there in Philly. I lived right in the suburb, like right outside Southwest Philly. I lived in like one of these townhome communities where all the houses are connected. And, you know, there's mailboxes in between, like a courtyard, so all of the houses are basically, like, facing each other, and they're all connected, right? So a bunch of people had flyer parties for the Stanley Cup Finals. So I says, I got something for them. So every time the Flyers would score or do something well or whatever, they'd be jumping around, screaming and yelling, all excited, all happy. I'd hear them yelling and screaming. I would play. I put my stereo speakers at my window, right? And if the Red Wings scored or got a power play or something, I would play Celebration. You know that song, Cool in the Gang or whatever?
Cool in the Gang, yeah.
Yes. Celebrate, good time. And then I'd scream, yeah! Out the window. Every time. Just that was my way of combating it.
I like it.
I'd go into work the next day. And I'd go up to, there was a couple of guys I worked with who were obnoxious Philadelphia fans. I mean, hey, you know what? I fell asleep last night. What was the score of that Flyers game? And then when they swept them, I brought a broom into work. That's how I did it. By the end of the time, it's amazing how much fans make you dislike a team. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you a great example. When I was in college, my roommates, one was a huge Giants fan. One was a huge Cowboys fan. They were so obnoxious. I couldn't take it. To this day, I root for the Cowboys to lose, and I laugh at them when they do. I root for the Giants to lose and laugh at them when they do. I might have been the only person in Pittsburgh rooting for Brady against the Giants those two Super Bowls. Not because I wanted Brady to win, but because I wanted to laugh at my friend. But, of course, I had to hear about it. It was so obnoxious. They had this, like, Super Bowl highlights tape. You know, the NFL films? Well, they sold, you know, those highlights you watch on TV, Super Bowl highlights, you can buy them in, like, a 40-minute film, right? They had the one from, like, the 19, I don't know, I guess it would have been 96 or whatever year that Phil Simms won the damn Super Bowl with the Giants, not the Hostetler one, the one when Phil Simms won. It was called Giants Among Men. It was, you know, back then they had VHS tapes. That's how old I am. And we had VHS tapes in college. Every time I walked into the damn living room, the guy was watching Giants Among Men. Every time. So fans often turn us off. Like, I hate this fan base, so therefore I hate the team. But the three teams, honestly, Baltimore doesn't bother me. Browns don't really bother me. Bengals don't really bother me. The Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys are the three teams that I absolutely hate just because I had to deal with some of the most obnoxious fans that I could possibly. And I lived in New York, too, for a while. So there was that, too.
Imagine if you worked in Washington.
I'd have all four, right?
Yeah.
I'd have the, what do they call it? It's a superfecta. Four. I'd have,
yeah.
As it is, I have the trifecta of the NFC East.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, there's a lot of things that usually come out of a big game like yesterday's game. Some of the narratives and some of the things that I hear, I just shake my head. We can start with the idea of, well, you know, the Bengals talk trash. Bulletin board material. I laugh when I hear that whole stuff because the bottom line is we never hear about bulletin board material when the person doing the shooting off of their mouth wins. What happened? For instance, Willie Gay from the Chiefs talking about how he was not impressed by the Bengals, not impressed by anything about their offense, had a couple other things to say. One of those other guys from the Chiefs defense shot his mouth off. That didn't motivate the Bengals enough. Actually, what would have happened is if the Bengals had won, guess what they would be doing? They'd be talking about, you know, people would be talking about, well, Willie Gay should have kept his mouth shut. Bulletin board material. I think it's the most overrated, stupid thing that I ever hear every single year is this nonsense about bulletin board material when one team or both or whatever or one player gets a little mouthy and he ends up losing. Because for every time that happens, there's probably four or five times that guys shoot off their mouths and they go out and win. And we never talk about bulletin board material and how it put the other team over the top. The Chiefs had a Super Bowl trip on the line. The Chiefs were at home. The Chiefs have been a team that has been right near the brink of being a dynasty and hasn't broken through. The Chiefs know that coming down the road here, they're probably going to have to break some people up because of how much money they've got invested in a couple of their stars. But yeah, they weren't motivated to play this game until they heard Joe Burrow say something about Burrowhead or whoever it was said that. And this is how stupid we get. Give it a break. There was that narrative. At the end of the day, the Bengals are a team, yeah, they got a little bit of swag to them. I don't think they're excessive. And you know what? They've been one of the best teams in the league the last 2 years. I mean, seriously, the last 2 years, if you really think about it, you know, last year they won the AFC. This year they got to the AFC Championship game. And so last year the Rams won the Super Bowl, which means they got, you know, they were 3 points better than the Bengals last year, and this year the Rams were a disaster. So I'd say the Bengals were better than the Rams, right? About really the only team that if the Chiefs go out and win the Super Bowl this year, then you can say the Chiefs have been better than the Bengals over the last 2 years because they will have a Super Bowl championship and a trip to the AFC title and, you know, whatever. But the Eagles, what were the Eagles last year? Did they make the playoffs last year? I don't know if they did or if they. I don't even think they made the playoffs. Did they? I think the Cowboys made the playoffs last year. What was that? Here we go.
Philly was a wild card last year at 9-8. Dallas won the division that year.
Did Philly lose their first playoff game, I'm assuming?
I think so. Try and confirm.
Right. So they would have been a wild card.
Yeah, they went to Tampa Bay in the wild card round and lost.
Okay, so here's the thing. We'll say if Philly wins, okay, you can make the claims that since they won a Super Bowl and they were a playoff team last year, they've been better than the Bengals the last 2 years. If they lose, I don't know that. I mean, if they lose, then they would basically. You can make an argument that the Bengals have been better in the playoffs for 2 years, if you think about it. So if the Eagles win, put it this way. I'll put it a different way. The Bengals have been, at the very worst, the third best team over the last 2 years. At the very worst. And probably even a little higher than that. So if they want to have a little swag, okay, have a little swag. But at the end of the day, I mean, the idea that they're like so cocky and all this other stuff, and I mean, you know, they poked the bear, I heard people say, and that's what, come on, man. That's not why they lost. Had nothing to do with it. The Chiefs have plenty on the line because, honestly, the Chiefs are the kind of team that probably over the next 4 to 6 years, they're going to be propped up by the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, who's going to cover up a multitude of sins that they can't address because they have cap problems, which is what happens with every time a big-time quarterback finally hits the stride of his max contract deal. You know, they have a hard time putting together a full roster, right? A roster that's complete. They've got some plays that, you know. So it will be Patrick Mahomes basically carrying that team for 4 or 5 years. They know that this is basically their last year to legitimately be, you know, a team that wins because they're the best team. Because they're going to lose some free agents. They're going to lose some really key players, and they're going to have a hard time replacing them. And because they're going to have Patrick Mahomes, they'll be in the same situation the Steelers were in, which is they're going to draft 25th, 26th, 27th every single year. That's just how it is. It's a catch 22. So the Chiefs had plenty riding on this game and plenty to play for and plenty of motivation. All of the stuff, you know, them talking trash after the fact, that's just, you know, talking the trash after the fact. If they were that confident, you know what? They'd have been talking about that pregame. We're going to make them eat their words. They never did. Secondly, could we please stop with the need to turn Patrick Mahomes into some sort of incredible hero because he played with a sprained ankle? Okay? It was great that he went out there and played. I would be willing to bet probably a quarter of the players that were out there on the field had a injury very similar to that, maybe even worse than that, and played. And at the end of the day, you know what? They get paid to play. If it was a regular season game, he probably would have sat out because it's not important. You know, it's really not that important to, you know, to if you get injured more, you might as well just sit out for a week and that way you can heal up. But they have the best doctors, trainers, and everything else working on these guys for a whole entire week. And I'm pretty sure that he didn't feel much of anything from that foot the entire game. I mean, it's admirable he went out and played. But it's so way over the top. You know, this need to turn everything into far more than it actually is. It's a great player that decided. At the end of the day, it's one of those situations where it's the need to basically, create a hero or something. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense from the fact that guys play hurt all the time. That's just what it comes down to. Guys play hurt all the time. Now the last one, okay, is just Let's start with way over the top. Okay, Joe, what's his name? Joe Asai, is that how you pronounce his name? Joe Asai has the late hit. Immediately, Steeler fans start going on and on about Pac-Man Jones and Burfict because, you know, because that's what happened. Remember, they both got unnecessary roughness and whatever penalties. I think one was unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever. Two stupid penalties by the Bengals that really probably cost them the game against the Steelers, right? And immediately people went into, listen, first of all, this kid played a hell of a game. Second of all, this wasn't a dirty hit where he was trying to hurt somebody like those two idiots. Third of all, he was very humble afterwards. No, he made a mistake and he was very contrite about it. Those two idiots think that they didn't do anything wrong. Those two idiots were trying to hurt somebody. Those two idiots were, you know, doing what they do. This guy made a mistake. And quite frankly, he was just trying to, you know, it was all out on the last play of the game to try and stop Patrick Mahomes. He took one step too much. So could we please stop comparing this to Burfict and Pac-Man Jones? Because it's not even the same thing. Not even the same category. Not even close. That's number one. Number two. Could we please stop with all of the, you know, way over the top, you know, I've pro football talk and a couple of other players. Well, we've got to, this is the mental health of players, and we've got to support this guy and surround this guy and all this other stuff. Give me a break, will you please? He made a mistake. It cost a penalty. It's not, you know, his own team said it's not why they lost the game. We don't need to turn everything in. That is the problem with the way we do things nowadays. Why does everything have to turn into that? Oh, well, you've got to worry about, you know, the mental health, and look, these are real human beings and this and that and the other thing. And then I saw the thing where, you know, the guy was at his locker and one of his other teammates came over and started telling reporters, that's a dumb question, don't answer this. And then what was his name? I think it was B.J. Hill maybe. Yeah. B.J. Hill, you know, then he's tweeting, oh, I had to step in to help. The dude's a grown man. Do we really need to do this? He's a grown man. He made a mistake in a football game. If he needs you to come over so that he answers it, because he has to answer a few questions about what happened on the play, what he was thinking, and quite frankly, I listened to the questioning. Nobody was being aggressive or going at him or saying, you're an idiot and this, that. In fact, the only person that was doing that, I mean, B.J. Hill, if you really want to do something special, how about your teammate? I forget which one it was that they caught on tape walking into the locker room ripping the guy for making a penalty. How about go talk to him? But I listened to the media. They weren't being aggressive. They weren't being ridiculous. They were being respectful of the guy. But come on, do we have to make everything way more dramatic and melodramatic and way more, oh, the mental health of football players and this and that? This is a really difficult. No. Give me a break. He's a grown man playing a football game. He made a mistake. And it was a mistake out of hustle and trying to make a play, which if you're a coach – at any level of any sport, you know what? You can live with a guy who's trying to make a play and makes an honest mistake. You can live with that. Even if it's a tough one like this at the worst time. Even if it's a tough one like this at the worst time. I mean, at the end of the day, he was a guy who made a mistake and was trying to play a play. But please, some of these things drive me crazy. It's why usually after a big game, I have to get off social media because I get dumber reading this stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Get our next guest's opinion on all of this stuff. That would be KDK Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, there's something that I'm missing, and I just don't know where it came from. But can you explain to me how all of a sudden the Chiefs became the underdog, underrated, disrespected, nobody gives us any credit, nobody talks about us team in the NFL? Was I asleep when this happened? Where does this come from?
No, that, and you know, I don't know anybody that's ever praised Patrick Mahomes. No one. I don't think there's ever been a kind word said about the man. So I understand why he was, you know, making those comments after the game. Yeah, I don't listen. These guys do whatever they can to motivate themselves. And as much as to me, it was funny that as much as they were upset for all of Cincinnati's talking, they sure did a hell of a lot of talking after the game.
Right. I mean, again, Cincinnati talking, they did what they did. But, you know, Willie Gay from the Chiefs, he was also talking before the game. Who cares? I mean, really, at the end of the day, guys talk. But my point was, at the end of the game, I kept saying to myself, because I saw people writing it. I read it for, you know, on social media, you know, national guys, you know, some of the things that some of the players said, this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, when did Pat Mahomes become disrespected? Other than the idiot mayor or whatever from Cincinnati, I've never heard anybody disrespect. Everyone that I've talked to has basically said he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the league and probably number one.
Yeah, and have gone out of their way to praise the man, and rightfully so. He's had an amazing career. One other thing that we learned this weekend was that for all the people that said, listen, anybody could be the quarterback of the Niners, I could go there and they'd score 28 points because that genius offensive mind over there, well, at least there's one guy that sure as hell can't lead their offense.
Right, no, exactly. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we've got a pretty good Super Bowl, I think, with these two teams, right? That's all you ask for. I mean, once the Steelers are out of it and people here lose interest in their local interest, then you're just rooting for good games. I think this should be a pretty good game in 2 weeks, correct?
Yeah, I agree. And there's a little bit of a rooting interest. I mean, there's that kind of Philadelphia battle. There obviously is in hockey, so there's no love lost there. And the whole ankle with Mahomes and all the stuff that you were just talking about. Yeah, I do think it should be a good game. I wish Mahomes were 100%, but, you know, in 2 weeks, he's probably not going to practice much, won't have to. He might be back to somewhat normal, or at least a lot better than what we saw on Sunday. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. And there are two teams, neither of these teams, like, lucked their way or went on some magic run. Like, for the most part, these were the two best teams all year.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, there's no question. Obviously, some missed calls, some bad calls, whatever you want to say in the fourth quarter. And now, of course, we have people calling for all these remedies. Can you explain to me what the number one thing I hear is it's time for the NFL to go to full-time officials. Can you explain how that is going to change guys missing calls on game day?
It's not. I get that part. Like, hey, pay these guys, make them train all the time, try to cut down on some of the errors. But you never, ever are going to have a game where the refs are perfect, much like there'll never be a game where the players are perfect. And they're going to make mistakes. You've got to be good enough to overcome those mistakes. There were. I get it. Why Bengal fans are probably upset, why Niner fans were upset that call wasn't overturned. But none of this is perfect. Like, there are going to be bad calls. You just have to be good enough to overcome them.
Yeah, exactly. But my point is that the remedies I keep hearing are always, you know, and I've heard now about people, yeah, I've heard people putting, you know, putting microchips in the football and all the technology for this and that. I'm thinking to myself, listen, if the goal is to get every single call 100% perfect, every single placement of the ball 100% perfect, all that other stuff, we might as well just cancel the games because it'll never happen.
And they'll be 6 hours long.
That's the other thing.
And, yeah. And you know, we're starting to see it a little bit, you know, with the NFL. We've seen it a lot in college, all these replays, and everybody's so incensed about getting it everything right. But, it's you know, the NBA, they don't call a ton of fouls until later in the game when they have to, because if they called every foul – there would be 3.5-hour games in the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Well, switching gears, Jeff, people in this town, you know, they've gone crazy about the fact that Kellen Moore was fired by Dallas. That makes, let's see, 13 offensive offensive coordinators and play callers who've been dismissed by teams around the league. And Dallas was fourth in the league in scoring average and fifth in offensive touchdowns. So it's not like he wasn't doing a good job. Do you draw a conclusion to the fact that the Steelers haven't fired Matt Canada and 13 other teams have fired their guy? I don't know.
Well, it seems pretty clear to me that, you know, Kenny Pickett said, hey, I want to work with this guy. I feel comfortable with this guy. I feel like we were doing some stuff together. I'm not saying that the Steelers just bowed to their first-round pick, but obviously his stamp of approval, his thoughts were important, and I think they did that. And, you know, whether they've been fooled or not, I guess we'll find out this year, but they believe, you know, some of the things we saw in the second half of the season, you have to give some credit at least to Matt Canada and the way he designed things. What I would love to see, to me, is if you're not going to replace Matt Canada, okay, but bring in another voice. Like, just bring in another mind. Just somebody else that you can bounce ideas off of. I mean, that's – how can that hurt? And if Canada's not fine with it, well, he has no choice. You know, and it doesn't have to be necessarily Leftwich, but just bring in somebody. There's a lot of coaches or former coaches that would even work in an advisory role. You know you've got a good young offense. Bring in some more ideas to help it, you know, see its full potential.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe, you know, there's, you know, I've actually heard people talk about, well, maybe they could do something, you know, with one of these guys and bring them in and do what you did with, you know,
Flores.
Flores or something like that, but that can be difficult. Like, you have to have the right, like, it seems like Terrell Austin and Flores work together well. You have to have the right combination of people for that to work.
Yeah, you're right, but I think through Tomlin's relationships, I'm sure there is an offensive mind or two that could work, you know, has that type of personality that could work well with Tomlin. You know, like I said, Canada really wouldn't have a choice, but would figure out a way that they could all work together and come up with a little bit better plan than, you know, what we saw at times last year.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you that's the thing. They've got to do something better. Obviously, what we've seen in these playoffs is it's really hard to win if you can't score.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as they made improvements, they still were 28th in scoring. So it's not like they broke through and you're like, oh, okay, damn. Like, they've figured this out. Like, they're scoring, you know, four touchdowns a game. It wasn't that way. They did do a little bit better. And, you know, to be fair to Canada, I want to give him a little time to, like, okay, he's got an off season. What's he going to learn? How much is he going to work with Pickett? How much is he going to realize what he can do? And I think a little bit of what we saw with at least more yardage offensively, especially in the second half of the season, was those two trying to, you know, figure out how to work together. And I think Canada did do a pretty good job of taking advantage of some of Kenny's strengths.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did. And I think if they continue to take the next step next year, you know, nobody's going to be complaining about Matt Canada. Of course, if they don't,
Right.
Then it's going to get ugly, isn't it? Now we're into the Senior Bowl week and all the other stuff, Jeff. If you had a wish list for the Steelers early draft, early part of the Steelers draft, what do they absolutely have to get?
Yeah, and as you know, Paul, it's so tricky at this because free agency will happen before the draft, so some of those needs will be filled. But for me, I mean, it might seem insane because all the money you already have on that side of the ball, but defensive line, like I want, if a good young defensive lineman is there, if you believe you've got the right corner at that spot, I wouldn't mind you going in that direction with the first overall pick. And I know that the offensive line, you would love to add some pieces there, but man, you really need, I think there's more urgency improving that defensive line, you know, getting a corner, especially if Sutton signs somewhere else, and finding a middle linebacker that can be consistent for you and make some plays and help your defense grow. Yeah, you could add a receiver, you could add an offensive tackle. But it's interesting, Paul, I did a story on the last 4 years, from picks 15 to 25, only four of the 13 offensive linemen that were picked in that range are top 50% in the NFL, while seven of nine receivers picked in that same position. So offensive line is risky because you look at the first round and people automatically think, oh, it's Lane Johnson or Penny Sewell. Well, those were the first couple of picks in the draft. Where the Steelers are drafting, it's a little bit more of a crapshoot. And, you know, often it can be, do you want to, like, if you have a guy that you know could make a difference at a position other than offensive line, how do you pass that up?
True. Absolutely true. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, we even saw that with the Bengals when they, you know, lost some of their offensive linemen. They weren't nearly, you know what I mean? Because Burrow kept getting hit yesterday. That was a big part of the problem.
It was. But, you know, it's interesting you say that because I was going back and forth because if they don't have Ja'Marr Chase, they're not in the Super Bowl last year.
Right, right.
But if he had more protection now, would he be able to do more with a lesser receiver? I mean, I guess that's the battle you could have back and forth. But it's just, if you're not at the very top of the draft, it's so much riskier to try to find the right offensive lineman.
Right. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking some time and jumping on with us. And enjoy your evening, sir.
Thank you, Paul. Have a good one.
All right. That's Jeff Hathorne. That's Jeff Hathorne from KDK Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.